We should come. I'll be all right. Well, telephone me as soon as you can.
I will.
Go on. He's waiting.
Shall we go in?
Yes.
It's very bold of you to stay. You don't mind being left alone with me?
Why should I? Do you think I would cut and run?
I didn't think you were the type to do that. I hoped you wouldn't.
The sun is going down.
Yes. We still have a little daylight.
One more story?
Why not?
It's your turn.
So it is. Did I tell you I've seen a ghost?
In your red room?
No, this is another occasion. When I was a medical student in my young days.
Oh, a while ago, then.
Yes. In Edinburgh.
Did you qualify?
No. I made nothing of it. I couldn't ever cram all those names of bones and blood vessels into my head. I tried for a year or two until... But to begin with, I was willing and quick and pleasant, and I found favor with one of the teachers of anatomy, Mr. McFarlane. He was comparatively young, but very talented, and already preeminent in his field. We also shared a taste for the nightly pleasures of the old town. I was a student, you must remember. I rose to the giddy heights of assistant demonstrator. My task was to hand on the saws and pliers while Mr. McFarlane went to work on the cadaver under the eyes of the admiring class. I also had to keep the anatomy theater clean and, most importantly, to supply, receive, and divide the various subjects for dissection. In order to carry out this delicate duty, I was lodged in the same building as the dissection rooms. I would stagger home to bed after a night of student drinking and debauch, only to be called to the door by the shady characters who supplied the dissecting table. I would pay the price and receive their burden, and then go back to bed to sleep it off. It was never easy to get bodies. The supply was always running out. Of those who brought bodies to us, Mr. McFarlane advised me not to ask too many questions, although he knew as well as I that the bodies were often of a singular freshness.
They bring the body, and we pay the price. For the sake of your own conscience, just leave it at that.
So I took the corpses, and I paid the price, and I averted my eye from any other consideration. Until early one morning.
All right, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Yes, it.
Thank you. Put it there on the table.
Aye, very much, sir. But at the second back there, if you don't mind, we might be needing it again, and she won't. We'll see, sir.
There you go.
God almighty. That's Jane Galbraith.
Good night, huh?
I know this woman. She can't be dead.
She was a streetwalker that died every day.
She was alive and well yesterday.
You see her for long, did you, sir? Perhaps you're mistaken. You must be. I thank you for the money now.
But...
The money. You were entirely mistaken, what? Sir.
I'm sorry. I was entirely mistaken. Here's the money.
Thank you very much, sir.
I was left alone with the body to think. I knew the girl only too well. I saw the marks on her body that suggested a violent death. A panic seized me.
What should we do?
Do? Do you want to do anything? We said soon as mended, I should see.
But someone else might recognize her. We're not the only men who...
Let's hope they don't. And if anybody does, well, we didn't. Do you see? And there's an end. This goes on, you know. It's been going on for a long time. Stir up the mud now and all of us be in it. What would you have to say for yourself in the witness box? You know this isn't the first. The street vermin don't just drop down dead for our convenience. You know some of them were murdered.
Dr. McFarlane!
Come, come, you must have suspected it.
But suspecting is one thing...
And proof, another. Yes, I know. And I'm as sorry as you are that this thing should come here. But the next best thing is for me not to recognize it, so I don't. You may do as you please. I don't dictate. But I think a man of the world would do as I do. The men who get on in this business aren't the old wives, you know.
So I did nothing. Said nothing. And the body of the girl was duly dissected, and no one made any remark. A few days later, I met McFarlane, as was our habit, in a bar off Canongate. I found him sitting with a stranger, a very ill-favored man.
I'd like you to meet...
Gray. You can call me Mr. Gray. Let's have another bottle for your friend Toddy. Toddy McFarlane, you never guess why. Shall I tell that story, Toddy?
Better not.
I said another bottle. Come on, look lively, Toddy, and shut the door while you're about it. I'm freezing my ass off in this hole. Toddy hates me. Oh, yes, you do.
Stop calling me that damned name. You've had your little joke.
I'll call you whatever I like. Listen to him. Did you ever see the lads play knife? He liked to do that all over my body.
We could do better than that, Mr. Gray. When we medical students don't like a dead friend of ours, we dissect him.
Much better not to joke about it.
Next day, McFarlane was absent from class, and I thought he must be sleeping it off. I went to bed early that night and slept soundly until the early hours.
All right, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Good morning.
McFarlane, what?
Help me in with this.
But have you been to the churchyard? How did you manage on your own?
Save your breath for your work. Let's get it on the table. You'd better look at the face.
What?
You'd better look at the face.
Why?
You'd just better.
But how? Where did you get it?
Just look at the face.
Gray. It's your Mr. Gray.
I think Richardson has been wanting a head to dissect. He may have this one. By the way, the money.
What?
You must pay me.
Pay you? Pay for what?
For him. The accounts must tally. By all means, and on every possible account, you must pay me. I can't give you this for nothing. And you can't take it for nothing. It would compromise us both. This is another case like your sweet Janie's, you see. The more that is wrong, you must act as though everything is all right. Where do you keep the key to that money box? Come on, man!
Here.
Now then, there is my payment made. The first proof of your good faith.
I've put my neck in a noose to oblige you.
To oblige me? Come, come. As far as I can see, you did what you had to do. Suppose I got into trouble. Where would you be? This goes back away, you know. Back to Janie Galbraith and beyond. Mr. Gray here is just a continuation of that other matter. You can't begin and then stop. If you begin, you must keep on beginning. That's the truth. No rest for the wicked.
My God, what have we done? And I'm just the assistant. Where's the harm in that? Why do I have to be dragged in?
What a boy you are. There's no harm in it if you hold your tongue. It's a shock to begin with. But you're clever. You've got a bit of grit. I promise you, 3 days from now, you'll laugh at this like a schoolboy at a pantomime.
What could I do? I was too young and too stupid to see a way out. I felt I had fallen under McFarlane's power. My complicity with the murder of poor Janie stopped my mouth. I did nothing. Then the class began to arrive. The body was parceled out to the various students. Richardson was made happy with the head, and before the hour was out, the dreadful process of disguise had begun, and we were safe. After a few days, McFarlane's prophecy was fulfilled. I outlived my terrors. I began to think myself a brave fellow. Some months later, we ran short of bodies again. But we heard news of a burial at a place called Glen Course, a country graveyard some distance from the village itself, not overlooked. The farmer's wife had died. We set off in driving rain, our spades and lanterns hidden in the back of the cart, and we stopped at an inn to warm ourselves for our work.
McFarland, you're a philosopher. I was a fool till I knew you. You'll make a man of me.
Of course I shall. It needed a man to back me that morning. There are some cowards who would have turned sick at the look of the damn thing, but not you. You kept your head.
And why not? It was no affair of mine. And I could count on your gratitude, couldn't I?
Of course.
The great thing is not to be afraid. Between you and me, I don't want to hang.
That's practical.
But for all the rest, hell, God, the devil, right and wrong, sin and crime, they may frighten boys, but men of the world like you and me, eh?
Just so.
Here's to the memory of your Mr. Gray.
Mr. Gray.
We reached the graveyard in the early hours, lit the lanterns, and went to work.
That's the coffin lid. Let's have it open.
Damn, the lantern's out.
Don't worry. I've got the body. We can finish it in the dark. Damn, heavy. Give me a hand.
In the blackness, we got it up, wrapped it in sacking, and loaded it onto the cart.
Oh, bloody old bitch. I wish she'd keep herself to herself. She keeps trying to put her head on my shoulder.
Seems big for a woman. There's something about it. For God's sake, let's make a light, shall we?
Stop the cart, then. I'll do it.
He lit the lantern, and it sent a dull, misty glow through the rain. We could see the thing we had brought with us. The rain had molded the rough sacking to the outlines of the body underneath.
There's something not right about it. It's not a woman.
It was a woman when we put her in.
Well, it isn't now.
Hold the lamp. I must see her face.
He climbed up, unfolded the sacking, and uncovered the head. The light fell very clear on the smooth-shaven features of the familiar face of Mr. Gray.
Oh, my God! Please, it's you!
We flung ourselves away from the cart. The lamp broke and went out, and the horse, terrified, bolted away towards the city, bearing us ejected Mr. Gray.
You saw it?
I saw it.
A trick of the light. And two guilty consciences.
Oh, certainly. If you like.
So, you were an accessory to murder. A body which you subsequently helped to dismember.
I cannot tell a lie. I did it with my little hatchet.
Oh, I don't believe you. I don't believe that. What was it, 15 years ago?
20.
Well, I can't believe that sort of thing still went on.
It's just a story.
You will not test my nerves this way.
Talking of which, I think it's almost dark now outside.
Yes.
Nearly time to go. Into the Red Room.
Yes.